my HTMS module is now released as open source software. So what? Well, when I joined my current company, I signed a contract that said everything I wrote is theirs. They may have thought everything I wrote was going to be golden. That's not true. But I plan to retire soon, like other people, and I want to take my software with me. So I said, hey, maybe we can make it open source. And the other advantage is I can share that then with the Tickle community, which I'm interested in promoting and expanding. So I'm quickly going to cover what the module does. It's a shorthand for HTML, XML, and SGML. I'm going to mention micro-optimizations, which is sort of the background of the module. I'm going to present a few open source licenses and then tell you where you can get it. So the background, HTMS debuted in Eurotickle 2019. I was going to present this talk in 2020, but COVID interrupted. And it's the basis for the compiler that made this slideshow. This is running in the browser as HTML with CSS and JavaScript. So the module converts a shorthand into HTML. It's meant to be future-proof and extensible, and it now supports XML. Where's Rolf? Okay, I can write all this stuff, but I do not verify it. It doesn't do that feature. So that's what makes it future-proof. Even stuff that's wrong today can be written tomorrow. So a quick review. To speed this up, I've turned off the animation. But basically, the HTML has a few types of tags you can write. They all look the same in syntax. This is a void tag. It doesn't have any content. There's not much savings here, but I've already managed to save one character in writing that. There are empty elements, which have start tags and end tags, which are the same. Now, savings are piling up. They're as long as the name of the tag. But most of HTML is about marking up content. You can put the content in, and you're beginning to see this is just a Tickle program. The square brackets here mean there's a command. And it turns out there's not a command named P. I'm using the unknown procedure to intercept all calls to HTML tags and just treat them as a tag. You can add attributes to HTML. The simplest kind is just a keyword attribute, and it's defined as having basically the same value as its name. It's usually not written, though. Hidden equals hidden. There are more interesting key value attributes. It turns out you don't need the quotes. If you're dealing with an identifier in HTML and XML, it's a little different. So I put those in automatically, and you would need them if you had some special character in there. If you do need blanks, for example, you just use the standard Tickle quoting rules, and it's turned into the HTML. You can have more than one attribute, and you're beginning to see these things are getting longer, and they're all just one word, just one command in Tickle, and I split them aside. Stefan, this is my domain-specific language, and it's even simpler because in the Tickle world, we don't talk about grammars, we talk about scanners. And this just does a lexical analysis of the command name and goes from there. You can even have superfluous attributes. It turns out they can be thrown out. HTML says, I'll take it the first time I see it and forget subsequent times. So now we're seeing micro-optimizations, and it's actually more interesting in other domains than it is here. You can save considerably more, get quite a lot of speed up, and I recommend you go take a look at Eurotickle 2016. I think the author was trying to convince a professor to assign it to a master's or PhD student, to get Tickle to run faster, or maybe a student who was looking for a thesis topic could pick this up. So, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. So I'm starting to add some more shorthand. If you're doing beautiful markup in HTML with cascading style sheets, often you have classes. So there's a shorter way to write classes. There's a shorter way to write identifiers. There's a shorter way to put in style attributes. Again, you'll recognize, if you know CSS, you'll sort of recognize the syntax as being a style tag. That can be put directly into HTML. And the only tricky thing here is the double point. That's what tells the scanner this is a style tag. Those can be cascaded as well. And they're put into a single style attribute in HTML. And also superfluous properties are omitted here. It turns out that CSS takes the last one you use, the last one you mention. The tool knows enough about that. So you can combine these shorthands. And they're getting a little longer. I did some measurements. I went to the TickleTK command pages and converted them into what it would be in shorthand. It's 93% of what it was in the raw size. And it turns out there's even a full size. There are some shortcuts you can use in HTML that are sort of frowned upon, like leaving out the quotes or not closing your tags, that sort of thing. And it saves a little bit more there, too. And there are even more savings, because often in writing these documents by hand, you have links. Here, there's a second. I can put the ID in between there. Special case, the really old people who used to use Fortran will recognize that repeating it is a way to put one in without ending the string. And we get a little more savings there. Here's an example of everything. Excuse me. So let's talk a bit about OSS. We've just been mentioning OSS. Well, it turns out it's about granting copyright rights. And there are many players, and they have different ideas of what it means to be free. Here's one common license, Creative Commons Zero. It's sort of okay, and not really, because it doesn't give away any patent rights. So it's not good enough for the Free Software Foundation. It's not good enough for the Open Software Initiative. There's another one, CC by 3.0, which looks okay, and it has, you have to put in the copyright, and you have to link to the terms, and we've seen authors do that, but you're not allowed to say anything bad about the person, or maybe that the code isn't good. Most common one we see is the MIT license. You just say it's released under MIT. That's not good enough for me. There's the MIT Zero, which you put that in, and then you don't even require people who use your software to mention it. Tickle license, not so good. I don't know if all these people still exist, but anyway, I would suggest using a different one. There's the Knuth license, says you can take it, but call it something else. I don't want anyone to associate what you did to my program with me. There are many, many more. There are hundreds. I just picked a few. So the code I'm releasing is MIT Zero. You can use it. You don't even have to put a copyright notice in. The text is this Creative Commons. Anybody can take it. The feather graphic in the corner was done by a mysterious person named Phantoman. And I won't say anything bad about him or her. The public repository is a Chisel app. It's a fossil repository. I'm sure we'll get copies of this earlier. How big is it? Well, not so big. It's 660 lines altogether, less than 500 are code. And if you don't want these generic entity references, using names like superscript 0 or superscript 1, you can leave out 100. So with 350 lines, you can translate everything into HTML or Tickle. Here's a bibliography. So you can go look at that that nice talk from 2016 on micro-optimization, or you can find the rest of the stuff. Take a look at SPDX to find your licenses. So thank you for your attention. Are there any questions?
I'm thinking on top of the, on the, standing on the shoulders of what you presented now, I would think of some further improvements. One of that would probably be not using the unknown global function, but maybe namespace unknown mechanism, and start out with a namespace that has no internal commands on its own. So otherwise, if you happen to have a procedure A, it might spoil some of the tags. Well, maybe not A, because A is hardly ever used on its own. But
if it was eval,
something, it's very unlikely to have collisions. But BR, maybe it could be a plain command, and then it might just not work.
Yeah, it turns out, whether through luck or design, when they designed HTML, they didn't use any keywords from Tickle.
So it was just disjoint set.
It was. But of course, I can always hang a dot on anyone and it becomes different and it will work the same. But you're right. And I hope you will check it out and make the improvement, and I can read your code to see how to do it.
Michael, first, I assume generating XML is supported, you said, and the mechanism is the same.
It's the same. You have to type your angle question marks yourself.
Okay. And now the next question is the unknown command. By XML, you can have any tag names, so you may get conflicts with some procs, command names.
Yeah, the quick workaround for that is if you have a name like proc, to type proc dot with no attributes, and it works.
But then you have to know
what
commands are defined in, at the moment it gets evaluated.
Yes, it needs a verifier.
Okay. Third and last question. The generated HTML is, in fact, XHTML, because every tag is closed. Assume.
Yes.
Another question about possible collision naming collisions. So is this syntax, let's put it that way, that you were describing being used mixed with Tickle code, or is it just being embedded into Tickle code?
I can do both. And that's one of the advantages I didn't stress, is this is executed as a Tickle program. So if you reach a level, if you're at the top level, you can run Tickle code. And if you're...
Okay, you could have a loop that produces HTML list or something.
I can generate a table of contents from the files in the directory, for example.
Yeah. Because I... not with HTML or stuff like that, but I in the past I did interpreters for let's say network protocols that just consisted of an empty Tickle interpreter make it a safe interpreter, delete all default commands, and then put aliases in for the stuff that you actually want to parse. So, but yeah, if you want to be able to use loops, of course, it doesn't work, or you have to selectively delete stuff.
One more feature that I now came to think of would be, you had the example of a paragraph, the P tag, and some content. Now, this content might of course be generated content from other tag commands, but it might also be some literal text. And if it's a literal text, one might probably have a mechanism to just escape this literal text. So, not sure if something like this already exists, escape. So I want this text to appear, so any angular brackets that are within it should be escaped, something like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's an Easter egg within this. That's an Easter egg. I have a command that puts angle brackets around a word so that I can have HTML within the body of another.
Okay, then thank you very much for the presentation.